If you're innovating, creating, or making a difference,
this show is for you. Welcome to Over Coffee. I'm Dot Cannon. Here on Over Coffee, we talk with artists and innovators about the process of changing the world in terms of what they do.
I really enjoy playing tennis, but the worst part is you have to wake up those balls. I wanted to buy something that will help me just keep hitting and keep playing. And then I was surprised that all the existing options out there are obsolete. So this is when I started thinking, why not build something?
TennyBot founder Haitham El-Atrabi loves making things, research, and tennis. And now he's combined all three in his new robot, TennyBot, which is the world's first robotic tennis ball collector. Haitham, who's a postdoctoral researcher at Auburn University, showcased the TennyBot at CES 2017's Eureka Park Marketplace in Las Vegas in January. TennyBot was already an award winner at the time of CES. It won second place in Auburn University's Tiger Cage competition for student entrepreneurs in 2015. Haitham, before we get started talking about this very cool robot, I'd like to know a little bit more about you. What do you remember very best about your growing up years that helped you become an innovator who comes up with all kinds of cool sports innovations?
Thanks, Doug, for asking. So I guess growing up, I didn't know that I'd become an innovator or an entrepreneur. Growing up, I was very interested in engineering, very interested in learning how to build stuff. And basically, I think it kind of grew on me. But initially, I just started like more of a kid who was interested in math and engineering. And then I started getting more and more interested in the business world. And then after I finished my degrees, I started seeing some kind of a combination of everything comes together.
When did you become an avid tennis player?
That's actually an interesting question, because I started this right a year before I moved to the U.S. to get my PhD. A friend of mine asked me to go out and play tennis, and I went out just to hit with him, and I fell in love with the sport. It's so much fun running after the ball, trying to get each single ball. It's kind of like a great hobby that I discovered that day. And this was like a year before I started my PhD, and since then I have been playing it as much as I can and as often as I can.
A tennis player is born. Please tell me the story of TennyBot. How did you and your team come to create that?
So the idea behind the TennyBot was, as I was telling you, I really enjoy playing tennis. I really enjoy hitting with the ball, sometimes for a couple of hours a day. But the worst part is when you hit the tennis ball machine or you practice serve, is you have to wake up those balls at the end of each practice, at the end of each set. Whether you finish hitting with the tennis ball machine, then you have to wake it up. And I really hated this. So it came out that I wanted to buy something that will help me just keep hitting and keep playing. So I tried to buy some existing solution, and then I was surprised that all the solutions and all the existing options out there are obsolete. So this is when I started thinking, why not build something ourselves? So this is when I started doing research into the technology behind it and if it can be done or not. And this is when I found it's actually viable, and we are getting to the point in time with the advances in technology and 3D printing and prototyping that we can build something pretty affordably. So this is when I started working on it, then I started getting the team together, I started reaching out, and the team started growing, and this is how the TennyBot was born.
Now, I've seen the TennyBot at CES 2017, and it's pretty amazing. What were the steps in taking that from the prototype? It looks like the prototype might have been cardboard and 3D printing to what you have today, a marketable model.
Yeah, it was definitely a fun journey. We started with something, at first it was literally, like you said, just cardboard everywhere, and then we took it up a notch, and then we started using some kind of plastic that we cut with laser, 3D cutting plastic, and then we started 3D printing some parts and adding them, and then we started going into vacuum forming plastic. We started using at first, adding to this some aluminum to add to the stiffness, using off-the-shelf components, then designing our own components. I like to think about it that it was some kind of a journey. You have so many prototypes, so many versions, and you learn as you go. You do something, then you take it out to a tennis court, you start test it, you start seeing some issues, then you come back, you take it up a notch. And I think this is the way we went through it. And it was fun, and we're still enjoying our time. So this is the main thing, I guess.
I'd love to know one of the most fun lessons you've learned, but what I'd like to do first, though, is in our imagination, you and I are going onto the tennis court. We have TennyBot with us. We set it down. What's it going to do and how?
So you go to a tennis court, you start a couple of things. You can either be playing with a tennis ball machine, so you would be hitting with a tennis ball machine, the TennyBot would be picking up balls on the other side of the court or at the net while you are playing. So you don't have to wait after you finish hitting with the tennis ball machine. You just take off the bucket out of the TennyBot, drop it in the tennis ball machine, and keep playing. This is option number one. Option number two, you are practicing serve. So serve is one of the most common weaknesses for lots of tennis players because it's not as fun as the rest of the other shots, forehand and backhand serve. You have to practice it, and usually there's no one to return the shots. You end up hating yourself because you have to pick him up. So let's say you practicing serve, then you practice, 100, 200 serves, and then the TennyBot picks up balls at the net on the other side of the court while you are still playing, and then it comes back to you. And this is another option. So basically, think of it, if you are hitting with practicing forehand, backhand, any kind of practice, or honestly, even if you are playing with a lot of balls with someone and you won't just the TennyBot to pick up balls around the net. But obviously, the biggest need is whenever you're practicing and you need to pick up a lot of balls is where the TennyBot comes into picture.
I like your app. I was looking at it online. It looks as though you have almost a map, like a square map, where you can tell it to go. That's really kind of neat.
Thank you. Yeah, we try to basically think of it more as a tennis player rather than an engineer. So I show up to the court. What do I do? Where is the most common places you're going to be picking up balls at? And we keep updating it as we get more feedback from tennis players and coaches.
What's been one of the most important updates you've done on that, getting that feedback?
One of the main things we started hearing from people is, we started with the first TennyBot, it was around 35 tennis balls. And then one of the main things we kept hearing from people, we want more tennis balls. We want almost double this quantity. Then I started thinking, okay, if everyone is asking for this, then we started making some small modifications. And because our design was flexible enough, we're able to double the capacity with making minor changes in our design. So that was very, very useful to hear this upfront from tennis players rather than wait until the product is in the market.
Now, 70 tennis balls. And I really also like when we look at it online, it looks like it tips over or tips up, rather, and raises the basket so it'll give me my tennis balls I'm playing.
Yes. So this was another idea. We wanted to save tennis players' backs. You don't have to bend down and save their time so that you don't have to pick it up. But at the end of the day, if you're using this to practice serve, we don't want you to bend down every single time to pick up the ball. So the idea behind it, it lifts up so that you don't have to bend down, let's say when you're practicing serve or practicing forehand or backhand. It gets it up to your waist level, basically.
So you've got innovation and a sense of humor here. You referenced lessons before that you had really learned and fun lessons, having fun in the journey. What would you say was one of the most important lessons you learned with TennyBot about creating something like this?
First of all, it's not as easy as it sounds. Initially, when we start looking into this, that's easy. You do this, you do that, and then it will be working in a heartbeat. You run into lots of issues. You kind of see lots of problems as you move forward, but this is part of the fun. This is part of the learning process. We learn so much stuff about like plastic and manufacturing, lots of stuff you wouldn't think about it. You know the limitations of some of the prototyping techniques. You know the sizes, the 3D printing, you can do it affordably. You know all types of materials you can be using. So we learned so much. Lots of software side was very, very challenging because you wanted to do something extremely tricky, but at the same time, it has to look natural enough that it doesn't hurt the game and the flow of the tennis match. So lots of those constraints, you start learning about it. Every day there's something new. But the great thing about this was every day you learn something new in a completely different field. Like, there's no way I would have learned all these things, me or the team, without having to go through this process. So we are having a blast going through this every day, every the ups and the downs. Obviously, the downs are a little depressing, but the ups are very exciting. So I think overall, we are learning so much and we are really enjoying it.
What's one really good problem you and your team had to work through and you felt wonderful about finishing?
Yeah, I guess one of the main things was that actually detecting the balls in all the conditions. So this means sun, shade, in the afternoon when it is cloudy. We had to go through so many trials and iterations of the code and algorithms so that we find the most efficient solution that will allow us to break a ball at various conditions. So this took us like a couple of months of continuous iterations, and I remember going on the tennis courts when it is shady, sunny, about to rain, really early, really late, trying to capture all the conditions and testing it, and every now and then you see small improvement until we got to where we are right now. So this was definitely the longest and most exciting lesson we learned and went through with the Tennyball.
That has to have been a lot of fun. Which leads me to ask, where are you right now with the Tennybot as you look towards shipping it later this year?
So right now we are in a pre-production stage. We are trying to finalize the design for manufacturing, finalize the bill of materials, have our manufacturers lined up. We are taking pre-orders from customers. But what we are trying to do different than lots of other people is I feel lots of people jump on the pre-order wagon a little bit prematurely. So since we really care about our customers, we decided that we are not going to take payments from them until we are ready. So all we are taking right now is just the emails and names. And using this information, once we are ready, we email them, hey guys, we are ready. This is the link. You can go ahead and pre-order yours when we are ready, and this is when it will be shipped to you. So I'm trying to maximize the chances of success of the project by waiting until we have all the information in place, all our supply chain management ready to go before we take any actual money orders from customers.
And what do you project will be the date that you'll be actually ready to take orders?
Right now, like I said, through our website, we take reservations for pre-order. The plan is to try to start emailing them out by May or June. Hey guys, we are ready. Why don't you go ahead and actually order it? We are trying to limit it, the first batch. So that's why we encourage people to go ahead and email, to go ahead and sign up, because probably what we're going to end up with is just the first batch that signed up. This is where we go through it and make sure we do all our testing and make sure everything is going smoothly. So we don't want to end up with like tens of thousands of orders. We want to limit it to hundreds of orders, somewhere between 300 to 400. And we already see lots of those spots filling up from going to CES and lots of people going to the website and taking pre-orders.
That sounds like excellent advice to fellow entrepreneurs as well, is not to overshoot what you can do as you find out what you can do. How much might someone expect to spend for the Tennybot, and do you have different models for, let's say, an individual tennis player versus a boys and girls club, a school or organization?
We are thinking, regarding the first question, we are thinking somewhere around $900. This is a price point we are aiming for. We feel it is reasonable enough for individuals who buy tennis rackets and tennis bags. So this is equivalent to a couple of tennis rackets. And for tennis clubs or coaches or even academies, they kind of make their money back usually in less than a month with the time savings they have on the court. Regarding different models, right now we went with this one. We made a small, elegant design, I guess, point, or one of the main things we tried to focus on in the design of the Tennybot was that we kept the bucket easily replaceable, which means technically, even though the capacity is 70 balls right now, even it takes a little bit more, but let's say 70 balls, you can easily, once it's done, the Tennybot comes back to you, you can take out the bucket, drop it off in a tennis ball machine or in another bucket, then put it back on. Or you can buy multiple buckets. This way, all you need to do is just replace the bucket and then it goes on. But again, for the first, because of all the manufacturing challenges and because this is our first rodeo, we're trying to make sure we basically chew what we can handle in a way. So we are limiting ourselves to this version. But obviously, once we get the ball rolling, we are already looking into getting a bigger version with a bigger battery and bigger kind of bucket. In a way, it can handle longer hours. It can pick up more balls. But for now, we felt that this solution of replacing the bucket, it shouldn't take more than a second, and at the same time, allow it to keep going further and further. And this way, instead of having one large Tennybot, you can have multiple Tennybots on different courts. So if you're an academy or a tennis club, instead of tying all your capital in one product, you have multiple of them on different courts.
And if people would like to get on your email list, how do they contact you?
They go to our website, tennybot.com. There is a contact us tab, and there's also reservations for pre-order if they scroll down our webpage, and they get to see the Tennybot and our updates. We also started an Instagram and a Twitter and Facebook account where we try to keep them, it's always easier to post updates and put pictures and keep them updated about our progress and where we are going from there.
Tennybot.com. What would you suggest? What resources have been most helpful to you so far as you've taken Tennybot to where it is right now that you might recommend other makers?
So the fact we are actually, it's a great question. We are actually based in Auburn, Alabama. So it's not known for entrepreneurship like Silicon Valley, for example. However, being in a small college town allowed us to reach out to lots of resources local, like Auburn University Business Incubator was extremely useful and helpful. Having all this kind of a small town mentality, had this family feel, the people we have been working with, whether students, professors, like everyone was super helpful in trying to dispense advice and help you out as much as they can. So I would say that definitely the support and the warmness of the community was very helpful as we start this endeavor. And then as the team grow, you feel that everyone is enjoying their time rather than it's not a job. It's something we enjoy doing, waking up to in the morning and working on.
I'm hearing you say engage with the community. Reach out and find like-minded individuals is what I've just heard from you.
Exactly. That's exactly correct.
Now, you will have given at least three pitches that I know of. You've been to CES twice, and I'm going to brag a little bit about you because you came in second place in the Tiger Cage competition in 2015. What did you learn about making a pitch for a product that you could use as advice for fellow entrepreneurs?
I would say, that's a great question. I would say focus on like the things that matter. Like I would suggest and advise people to focus initially on the product because without the product, you don't have anything. So focus on the product, do your homework, do your market research, talk with potential customers, make sure, first of all, there's demand for this product. Second of all, start doing your feasibility study early on in the sense of, can you build this product? Is it feasible? What kind of technologies are you going to need? How much money would you anticipate spending on this product? How much vaguely it will cost? Because all those decisions are kind of like early decisions you need to make sure for the success of the startup, to make sure you have the answers for, or at least have an idea where you are standing from.
Wow, great advice. I'm going to ask you for a story now. Take me back in your imagination to Auburn University's, if I'm not mistaken, inaugural Tiger Cage competition in 2015. What was that day like for you?
It was really exciting. Going through this competition with my teammates and the excitement after doing the presentation and waiting for the basically announcement of the results and feeling we did a good job and getting the excitement of this is just the first step, where are you going to go next? And all those feelings going through our minds. I think we were all pretty psyched when we were waiting for the announcement and we were extremely happy. And honestly, using this award wisely to grow the company and get more people and raise funding and get where we are right now and where we are ready to get into pre-production has definitely been a blessing and something we are very thankful for.
Please expand on that a little bit. Using the award wisely, what would you suggest to anybody who comes in, as you did, top of one of these competitions, receives award money? Where do you spend that when there must be six places you could spend it to reach out?
Another great question. In my mind, I would say that one of the main things that I was thinking personally about when we got the money is how to make sure we can add value to the investors, to the consumers, to the team members. Like, I just focus on what adds value to your company. In our case, it was having a working prototype, having a solid functional prototype. This was the most added value. So that's what we spent most of our money on. This is what we focused all our resources on. And this is what we were like product oriented company in a sense. We felt if we have something functional, something people enjoy and like watching and playing with, this is where we add the most value to the company, to the investors and to everybody. So this is what we focused on. So my advice would be focus your money on what it matters. It might be exciting to say, you know what, I might go put this money in a social media marketing campaign. It might be useful for your product, which is fine, but focus on what adds the most value to your company at that infinitely level and try to spend your money wisely, again, I guess.
In addition to all the other wonderful advice you've given, and by the way, thank you for your time, What if people could only get one thing from you about innovation, creativity, and making a difference? What would you want that to be?
That's a tough one. I would say having the right team in place is very, very important. It can make you or break you. Having the right team, right people, not only the talent, people you enjoy working with. It doesn't have to be like someone you already know starting out with, but get to know people, meet out, venture, go to events, see who is like-minded, who you will enjoy working with every day for a long time, because this is what it comes down to. But I would say having the right team in place is very crucial for a startup, because after all, one person, you're not going to be able to do it all. You're going to have a great team in place to be able to be successful.
Haitham, thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much, Dot. Enjoyed it.
You and I have been listening to inventor, entrepreneur, and postdoctoral researcher Haitham Eltrabi, who is the creator and founder of TennyBot, the world's first robotic tennis ball collector. As Haitham mentioned, he and his team are currently taking signups for notifications when TennyBot's ready to ship. You can find out more on their website, TennyBot.com. That's TennyBot, spelling it T-E-N-N-I-B-O-T, so Tenny like tennis, B-O-T like robot. That's TennyBot.com. And that concludes this edition of Over Coffee. Thank you for listening. Subscribe to Over Coffee on our website, twomavericks.com. That's two, T-W-O, Mavericks, M-A-V-E-R-I-X.com, twomavericks.com. And you can contact us at twomavericks@gmail.com. I'm Dot Cannon. Here's wishing you a cappuccino day.